But the most appealing thing about Christmas, and that same thing, what they call, I call it Resurrection Day, more biblically, more scripturally. Most call it Easter. But even that's become a commercial thing, has it not? But the most appealing thing about Christmas and Resurrection Day should not be any of those things. The most appealing thing about Christmas and Resurrection Day should be that it is ultimately about good news. That it's about the gospel. Well, do we not realize, brothers and sisters, What many in the world do not realize that they do need to realize is that if it was not for Christ's birth, we would be lost. That's how important his birth is. Without his birth, we would be lost. And not just lost physically, mentally, and all in those ways, temporally speaking, we would be lost for eternity, past time, space, if not for Christ's birth. That's why it's ultimately good news. Do we understand, brothers and sisters, that we would be lost? We'd be lost for eternity if not for his resurrection, if not for his overcoming death. And oh, there are so many people out there in the world who are exactly in that condition, and they don't realize they're lost. Sadly, tragically so. And many of them will remain lost. And many of them, sad to say, will remain lost because they choose to do so. Because they choose to go their own way. Because they choose to have their own way. And as I've said before in my preaching through the book of Romans years ago, if you remember, the Lord will let them have their way. He's not going to make them come to him. He's not going to make them accept the good news, either the birth of his son or the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. If they want to not choose him, he's going to allow them to do that with the understanding that when they do so, they're going to face the consequences of that. So many things are said and done in Christ's name, which are actually nothing but bad news. Not good news, but bad news. If we just look back in history, the Crusades, that wasn't good news. It really wasn't even about Christ. Oh, it was about the Roman Catholic Church, that's true. And what they wanted. But it wasn't good news, it was bad news. The Inquisition, talk about that, the Inquisition. Roman Catholic Church. Good news? Really? No, that wasn't good news. And they weren't being good to the people when they did it. World War II. World War I, World War II, the wars that we've had over there. Is that good news? No. What have those things caused? Nothing but bad news. Oh, for some it might have been good, but for the majority of the people, not. We look at recent history as well. Call that good news. We talked a little bit about this in this morning. Brother Michael brought it up. You look at all the wars we fought, all those who were killed and all that. But you look what wrought in our own country with the Roe versus Wade. How many little ones, how many millions of little ones. And they celebrate that thing. Celebrate that. Still celebrate that today. And they want to call that good. What do you think God calls that? I don't think He calls it good. Do you? But they want to say. Well, I even heard one of our representatives in Congress, which I will not mention her name, but she's back east. You know, this is the left coast. She's in the far left coast, back east. And what she said was, abortion is a religious sacrament. What do you think about that? That's a religious sacrament? They want to say that those things are good. That's not good news. And a religious sacrament? Really? I don't think he thinks so. What did he tell the children of Israel? That he said it never even entered his mind, the Lord's mind, God's mind, that his people would do such a thing. Sacrifice their own children to an idol. Well, what are they doing when they do that today with their little ones? See? So we can talk about numbers of those things. Just recently, in our recent history, that we see what's happened. Events in the recent past, and yes, even today, we find people maligning Christ's name by such things as that. By saying he's blessed by it? That he blesses it? Really? That he blesses abominations. What he calls sin. Does he? No. But they want to say that many of the things that just what Brother Stewart read for a communion meditation. Just what he read there. What we find in 1 Corinthians 6. What it says there. They want to throw that all out. And say that that's okay. That there's even some main we call them mainline denominations. United Church of Christ is one. Episcopal Church is another. That these hierarchies in these churches and in that want to say that what God calls sin and calls abomination, they want to say God's okay with that. That God blesses that. One so-called clergyman has even said that he thinks Jesus was trans. Really? Give me a book, chapter, and verse on that one. To the Lord, what does the Lord say about those kind of things? What do you think he means when he says effeminate will not be in the kingdom? What's he talking about there? What does that word mean in the Greek? Well, let me tell you what it means. And the Greeks, they honored those kind of things. But effeminate just means this. Men behaving like women. Men dressing like women. That's what he's talking about. Men who think that's what they are. Women who think that's what they are. God says no. God says it's a sin. God says those kinds of people will not be in his kingdom unless they change. That's why Paul says later what Brother Stewart read, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were cleansed. Through who? Through Christ. You were like that, but you're not anymore. But if you remain as you are, you will not be in the kingdom. That's what he says. And then Christmas, what many want to speak about, is they want to say that it's just about the negative. And there are many church leaders that all they can talk about, and I'm not wanting to do that this morning. All they want to talk about, though, is the bad news. Brothers and sisters, we need to talk about the good news. The gospel. Christmas and Resurrection Day are ultimate good news. This world, our country, included in this world, desperately needs some good news. And not just at Christmas and at resurrection time. We need a hope and a faith. And that's what people need. That's what we all need. We need a hope and a faith that will lift us out of cynicism, that will lift us out of despair. But our politicians and leaders in the world, what do they want? Where do they want to keep people at? Why do we still think that they keep harping on this thing with the COVID and the respiratory virus? Well, yes, they are going around, it's true. But why do they keep it front and center? Because they want people to be in despair. They want people to just have to rely on them. And I say no. And the Lord says no. He doesn't want us to be in cynicism and despair. He wants us to live joyous lives. He wants us to be filled with good news. He wants others to be so as well. You know, there's something healing about hope. And that's true about our individual lives and the world as well. But brothers and sisters, the only ultimate hope there is came at Christmas time over 2,000 years ago, very long ago. Not this month. What we call Christmas time, we think about that, yes. But whenever the Lord came, whatever time that was, ultimate hope came then. And oh, how the world cries out for a little good news. However, you know, there's no better news than what occurred. In that place in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Peter Larson stated some 20 years ago the following, which is still true and remains true today. Despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities: a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus, as Peter Larson says, Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance. But he left through a door marked no exit. Christmas is about, fourth, Christmas is about God's love. It's about God's love poured out. His love poured out ultimately. There was only one reason God sent His only Son, the greatest gift of all time. The greatest gift for anyone. The greatest gift for all of us. His Son. It was His way of saying. Do we understand this? Do we get people to understand this? It's God's way of saying, people, human beings, mankind, my creation, I love you. I'm coming in the form of my Son because I love you. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world in such a way. That's what it literally says. For God to love the world in such a way that He gave His one and only Son. In the Greek, it means unique. There's no one else, nothing else like Him that He gave in order that they might be saved. But only through His Son. Now you won't see this on TV anymore. It's not on the local stations, you won't see it. Now you might see it if you go on the internet and you look it up. But remember, most of us can remember this. In 1965, when some of us were young, there was an occasion that happened on TV. Primetime television came on. You know what it was? 1965. You know what it was? A Charlie Brown Christmas. You're not going to find that on primetime television now, are you? You can find it on the internet if you go. And if your children haven't seen it, if your young people haven't seen it, you need to go on the internet and look it up. See it. Watch it. You might find it on Apple TV and some of those other things. I don't know what they call those things. YouTube, Hulu, whatever those things are called. But look it up and watch it. But you won't find it on primetime. And there's a reason why. Because they want to get rid of Jesus. What we're supposedly celebrating today. What many are supposedly celebrating today. You know, even our own president of our country, when he gave his Christmas address, never mentioned the word Jesus one time. And he's supposedly a devout Catholic. He never mentioned Jesus one time in that message, in his Christmas message. Not once. Hasn't happened for many, many years that a president has not done that. Why? Because Jesus' name is not welcome. That's why. Anyway, in this Peanuts comic strip, I loved reading the Peanuts, but the Charlie Brown Christmas, you have to watch it. In the comic strip, though, in one of the comic strips, it shows Charlie Brown is reading the Christmas story out of Luke. And Charlie Brown begins by saying this: in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. And Charlie Brown pauses and turns to Marcy to explain. Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome and the most powerful person on earth. One night, in the little town of Bethlehem, a child was born. But no one paid any attention. After all, he was born in a common stable. Who would have thought that this would someday be revered by millions while Caesar Augustus would be almost forgotten? And Marcy interrupts Charlie Brown and says, No one paid any attention when I was born either. But now everyone loves me. And I'm going to get so many presents for Christmas, Charlie Brown, it'll make your head swim. And Charlie Brown turns to leave. He closes his Bible and he turns to leave. And Marcy says, "Hey, aren't you going to finish the story?" Charlie Brown replies, "I think you finished it." Now, Marcy may not have had any idea about the deeper implications of the Christmas story. But when she said, "I'm going to get so many presents, it'll make your head swim." Remember what she said? Nobody, what she said there at the beginning, no one paid any attention when I was born either. But now she's grown up. Now she's growing. Now she's being paid attention to. But why? Because Marcy knew something that everyone needs to know. That she was loved. Why do you think she said, "I'm going to get so many presents, it'll make your head swim"? Just for the fact of getting those presents, but she knew she was loved. And that's the greatest gift of all. Remember in the Charlie Brown Christmas movie program, television part, remember that Charlie Brown gives up. You know, he gets this little tree and nothing happened. The tree died. Well, it doesn't die, but it flops over. Remember that? And Charlie Brown is in despair. You know, he had been drafted to be the director of this play, which he didn't really want to be, and they all, you know, didn't want to do what he said and all that, and so he just gave up and goes out and he's going looking for a tree. He finds this little thing, puts a little ornament on it, and it just droops over. And Charlie Brown is in despair, and he just leaves. And he turns to Linus, you know, as it says, "What's the use? What's it all about?" And then you see the lights dim in the stage. You know, they're on the stage, and the lights dim. And at that one time, you notice Linus has a blanket. You notice at that one time, Linus drops his blanket. And he tells Charlie Brown, said, "Charlie Brown, this is what Christmas is all about." And he begins to read again from Luke chapter 2. And at that time, Linus drops his blanket. That's the significance that Charles Schulz has in that. Remember that Linus's that blanket was his security. But at this time he drops the blanket and he begins to read. Why? The significance of that? I think Charles Schulz put that in there to signify the fact that Linus realized that his security was not in that blanket. But its security was in the good Lord. But that's a magnificent, and that's why they don't want it again. That's why they don't want it to be shown. That's why he came. Christmas is about God's love poured out. See, do we know that we're loved? Do you know that you're loved? All of the prophecies, and there's hundreds of them that you'll find in the scriptures concerning Jesus. And there are those who say that, well, all of those prophecies, you know, all those prophecies were added later, you know, because they had to add those prophecies in there, you know, because no one could fulfill that many prophecies, just one person. So the people in the early church you know, they added those prophecies later so it would make it look like these things actually happened to Jesus. And I know people who actually believe that. But we don't, and we shouldn't. The Lord put those prophecies in there. He had them fulfilled. They were fulfilled in His Son. So all of the prophecies, promises, and the proclamations of the Bible and the Christian faith, they have but one basic content. And that content is this. God is saying, people, you are loved. I love you. That's the one basic content. God is saying, your life has eternal significance and meaning. I sent my Son because of that. God is saying, accept the love that I have given you in my Son. Accept the love that I have sent into the world through my Son. That's what He's telling us. That's what we should make our lives about. But here's the thing that I want to end with. Yes, it is about love. And Jennifer shared something with me on the internet. Now, Franklin Graham did get right, by the way. He did finally get something right. There's a famous Christian singer who was honored with Kennedy honors. You know who that is. She and her husband, she has announced that she and her husband are going to host her niece's same-sex wedding ceremony at their place. And her reasoning, what she said was this. Because she was castigated for it. But this is what she said. Famous Christian singer now. This is what she said. Jesus said, love God, love one another. That encompasses it all. So this is okay to do this, and God is okay with it. But here's the thing. Yes, God loves us. Yes, that's why He sent His Son. That is true. Jesus did say, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. He did say that, did He not? He did say, love your neighbor as yourself. He did say, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. He did say that, did He not? But what does that mean? See, does that mean when God says that I love you and I'm sending my Son for you, does that mean that anything goes? That you can live and you can do whatever you want? Because after all, I've sent you my Son. So live how you want. He's taking care of it all. Is that what that means? No. See, people aren't thinking about, yes, Jesus did say that, but what does that mean? What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love one another as yourself? What does it mean to love one another as I have loved you? See, not just love and anything goes. That's what they want. That's what they want to say. But God said, no. God said, my love has conditions. And my conditions are this. I've given you my plan of salvation. And I want you to follow it. But part of His love is what He's also saying is, people, I'm giving you my Son to save you. You accept Him. You believe in Him. You follow my plan of salvation. And you'll have eternal life. But He's also saying, people, that does not mean I want you to stay as you are. That does not mean I want you to do whatever you want to do and think it's okay. No, God is saying, yes, I love you. But I want you to be changed. I don't want you to remain in your sin. I don't want you to continue to sin. That's why I sent my son. So he would be your advocate with me. But that does not, God is saying, that does not mean that I want you to be, do whatever you want to do. God is saying, I want you to be conformed to the character, the image, and the character of my son. So he is saying, I want you to have his attitude. I want you to think like him. And know this, that what I say is sin. And I don't want you to do it. That's love. That's all part of that love that so many are forgetting. And we must not forget it. God gave us the greatest news there is. But he wants in that, he wants our lives to be transformed. The only way we can live in eternity with him is through his son. But our lives must be transformed as well. Not just living our lives however we want to, and God's okay with that, because he's not okay with it. And what Scripture tells us, what sin is sin, that what he says, I consider it sin. But as Paul said, such were some of you. God is saying, you can change your life. You cannot do those things. I've given you the wherewithal to do it. And that's what I want. See, that's really what Christmas is all about. Let's stand, we're going to sing, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son.